Hey, Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to a comedian Theo Von's interview. A little background information on how I met Theo. I met him at my brother's birthday party at Park's Finest Filipino restaurant, and he just had something to him, man. I didn't realize how funny the dude was. He was just so naturally funny at the dinner table. And a little background information also, he's from a place called Covington, Louisiana, which is referred to as the stray animal belt of that region. My favorite part of this interview is how he talked about the one Asian guy in the neighboring town from where he lived and how it was like a folklore unusual thing for an Asian to be living around those parts. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. How you doing there, Stan? Okay. We have a very special guest tonight, comedian Theo Von. Welcome him.
You got a little bit bigger hand than I expected.
Oh, what are you expecting, small?
No, actually you have nice hands.
Oh, thank you.
And my stepmother has nice hands too.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man.
Thank you for having me, man. I brought you a gift, actually.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
I'm from New Orleans, and it's a city.
Oh, shit.
Creole it's a southern
onion.
City.
Zapp's potato chips. Can I try one right now? They don't like me chewing in the mic, but
yeah,
fuck
really
it.
Loud,
I don't care
so.
What they say.
Well, they're really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Why you really get into a bag of chips easily, huh?
You are delicious.
Are they good?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you and your wife would like them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So you're from the South?
Louisiana, man.
Oh, shit.
We got a lot of... We have the only Vietnamese House of Representatives person. We only have the only Viet in the House.
For real?
In the House of Representatives, yep.
And
in America.
And your dad is from Nicaragua?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then it said on your wiki that he had you when he was 70 years... Is that true? 70 years old?
My father had me when he was 70 years old.
Damn.
And he was... what was he like? He was just kind of like a regular guy, mm-hmm. maybe about 6'1", mm-hmm. but getting shorter by the hour almost because of old age.
Oh, really?
Yeah, old age takes a lot of density out of your bones. That's why if you're really old, I feel like you should almost, I don't want to say like bathe in milk, but you want to get the suppositories or something. You want to just hide calcium in your ass or whatever you got to do to bone mm-hmm. up, mm-hmm. you know, to get marrow heavy. I'm serious.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm in my 40s.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You look older than that, actually, dude, a little bit. No offense, yeah.
Because of the beanie?
Oh, maybe that's
sure.
it.
Yeah.
Well, you seem like a nice guy, though.
Yeah, you know, we met. So how did we met at my brother's birthday?
We did. Your brother invited me to a birthday off the interstate
mm-hmm.
during rush hour traffic
at the Filipino restaurant.
Yeah, and they had Filipinos there.
Yeah,
and and I love your brother. You know, he's hard to love at times. You know that.
Oh yeah, you got a brother too?
I got a brother too, and he was
older?
Hard to love. Now he's a little easier to love.
Do you guys fight?
No.
Oh, okay.
One of us hit the other one with a chair once when we were young.
Oh, really? What was that over?
I don't know. One of us was wearing a disguise, so I don't remember who was who.
Oh.
But but it was violent. It was like one of the most violent things that ever happened to me.
Wait,
and
it
was a nice chair. It was an antique.
How old were you?
I was probably 11.
11 years old.
Yeah.
And then you have two sisters?
I have two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
One of them lives kind of by the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them... actually just got fat recently, like this past year.
I'm so sorry, dude. You're killing me.
And that
me.
Doesn't mean... I'm serious, man. And I'm not trying to be rude to anybody that's
yeah,
bigger
yeah,
or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I might be gay when I get older.
Yeah.
So you never know. To me, you never know what life has kind of in store for you, you know, or what's around the next turn. I don't put anything out of it. That's why when people are say like, you know, they have issues with gays or yeah. they have issues with fats or whatever, like... Yeah. That could be you next week. And that could be, that's why I don't put anything out. You know, everybody in my family's really had a pretty, almost pretty shitty existence. So I could see anything could happen to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When I was young, I used to have fears that I was going to lose an appendage.
Really?
Oh, dude, so many fears about it. I grew up with intense anxiety, and I would have intense fears when I was young that I was going to lose an appendage. And I remember even I would go, not a week, but I would go a couple days at a time where I would tie like one of my arms up mm-hmm. or tie one of my legs up to even just get used to like mm-hmm. what it would be like if that happened.
Why that particular thing? Why were you scared of that?
I don't know. I don't know if when I was young, I saw somebody that, you know, didn't have one, and it just shocked me because I didn't know you could not have an appendage.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody I've met up until that point had all their appendages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I remember meeting a guy, and he didn't have an arm. And I was just, it just shook me to my core.
Huh?
Yeah, I was like, how do you mm-hmm. not have an arm? You know,
yeah, where, that's fucked up.
It was just baffling to me. Like, how can you not have an arm?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you try to not have an arm, you really can't.
Yeah.
And this guy didn't have it. And I remember thinking that I don't ever want to be like that. And then my mom told me it could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And she just kind of left it vague like that.
How old were you?
Probably 7.
Oh. And then it says here you're from a place called Covington, Louisiana.
Yeah.
What was it like there?
Covington, Louisiana.
Yeah. So shout out to Covington. Yeah.
Shout out to Covington, 704-7431. They keep switching us around a little bit and redrawing some of the lines. 70431. And it's it was big in the turpentine business back in the day. You ever get
really?
Involved with tine or anything by your country?
No. No.
What were you guys into?
Kimchi.
Kimchi's like, a vegetable, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a cabbage. It's mm-hmm. grown in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good probiotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you like Korean barbecue.
Yeah, I like her. I like a little bit of I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't know Bobby had a brother, actually. And I found out shocked. I was mesmerized that he never told me he had a brother. You know, because it just seems like the only thing about Bobby is like he's just hard to get to know, kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think I understand what you're saying. He kind of puts up
there's so many things going on. You don't know what's real sometimes. You know,
because he's always like
he's always pulling up his pants.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah. Does he try to touch your dick and stuff?
I think he used to, but I think
because he does that because he likes you.
He does?
Well, he's done it with all the other comics. He's done stuff like that.
Yeah. He's almost like a Bichon, kind of. You know?
Yeah.
My buddy used to have this Doberman that would almost try to suck you off, even. Which is crazy, bro. Real talk, dude. I love your brother. You know, I've been fortunate enough that we've become buddies over the past year or two, and I know you can tell he really loves you, you know?
What gives that away?
He just like one way that I notice I can talk to him and he'll be more normal is if I talk about you.
Oh, yeah. But we used to fight.
Really?
Yeah. I pulled knives on him.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I could see that easily, dude. Yeah. I got pissed at him last night. I was going to drop him off at a fucking any local VFW and just let him get his ass kicked, you know?
How long you known Bob?
You know, I don't really know, actually. He's one of those things you don't even know how long you've had it, you know? It's mm-hmm. like a mole on your neck. You're like, next thing you just notice that it's big. And honestly, that's kind of how our friendship's been. It's been like... Yeah.
He loves you.
Does he?
He loves your comedy, dude.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love his, man. He's just got that weird gift that he can just always make people laugh. And I bet that's got to be weird.
Yeah.
Did you notice that when you were a kid that he was always able to make people laugh?
Yeah, well, we used to do this game. Well, he did it with my friends called the Laughing Game.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd go to the kitchen and we'd all be like just circle around the table and he would... basically put on an act and mm-hmm. we couldn't laugh.
Oh, that's
so
hilarious.
If you laughed then he would hit you.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, like the bam, bam.
Yeah, dude.
And then, but he was kind of a bully. Like we did a map.
I could see that. I could see him being like a little emperor.
Yeah. Like we had to draw a map for, of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed up all night. Me and my friend Steve Bourgeois. And he fucking walked in.
That's the most Asian thing ever. Staying up all night drawing a map.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he came and he's like, what's this? And he fucked up our maps. Yeah.
What an ass.
Yeah, he used to do stuff like that.
But do you think it was uncontrollable or you think he did it out of maliciousness?
No, he's just being a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But you were older than him, weren't you?
No, he's older than me.
He is?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
And, you know, we grew up in kind of a fucked up household, too. Like, it was haunted. Like, our house was, like, really haunted.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because we're from a place called Poway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, like, a lot of Native American history. Like, yeah. It was, like, our house was probably built on, like, a burial ground type
shit. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We both almost got possessed.
Booze and bones, dude. You know? That's any heartland, dude. Yeah. So, you can't even, I mean, you can't, you check any Native American's car, you always find gin and femurs or something. You know, they love, they keep the dead with them a lot of times. I almost knocked this, unfortunately, almost knocked this young lady up that was from South Dakota. And she lived on a reservation, and she like threatened to have the baby.
Oh, damn, how old were you?
37 this year. It was this year. And she wouldn't even... be cool. She wouldn't. She threatened to have the baby, dude. And I just met her at a motel. And she threatened to have a baby, man. And so that's.
Where? How'd you meet? Tell us some backstory.
I met her on Snapchat.
You did.
Yeah, and then I met her in person at a motel. Only hours later.
Wow.
And
it went down like that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And it was definitely, because I don't recommend that kind of stuff. I don't recommend making love to people off of Snapchat.
This is South Dakota?
Dude, this was in a different city. She was out of, out of their whatever
protected
zone.
How'd you talk her out of it?
She came out. She just said immediately, she's like, if I have this baby, I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, I'm having it.
What the
And I was like,
fuck?
Jesus Christ.
What did that make? Were you like, did you have a panic attack, man?
Well, part of it, I had a ton of things. I had, let me think about what I had. So first I was honestly, anger was my first feeling.
Yeah.
Because I was angry. I was like, this girl wants to, you know, she's trying to take out, she's angry or maybe at just, you know, men or something. She's trying to, maybe she's trying to entrap a guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt some anger and then I felt... Then honestly, I felt some selfishness because I was like, I don't know if I want to go see my child that's going to, because her family lives on a reservation. Oh, I was like, damn. I don't want to go see a child that's going to live on a reservation. Two flights to get there.
Damn.
So it's never a direct flight. So you're not going to, you know, you're not going to go up there on Friday. You're going to go up there on Saturday.
Yeah.
And you got to come back on Sunday.
Yeah. Jesus.
So it's like, I don't want to raise my son one night at a time, you know, every other month. So I started thinking about all that and then not seeing him and then seeing him and he's, you know, he's just not like me. And then not even knowing like what he wears to school,
So when did
all
she
kinds
have
of stuff like that?
When did she have a change of heart? Like I don't want, like,
I just texted her like 3 weeks later and asked her if she had the baby. And she said, no. She texted me a couple, about a week later. She goes, I heard you talking about not wanting this baby on your podcast. Cause I talked about it on my podcast immediately.
Wait, is that one's called The Past Weekend?
This past weekend.
Yeah, past weekend. Okay.
I started talking about it immediately cause I was so scared and I was looking for advice or guidance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, spiritual healing. Mm-hmm, people were mailing stuff into me.
Oh, what were they, like, what kinds of things were you getting?
Oil. Let me see. I got some oils. I got somebody sent me like a parental handbook or something.
Whoa.
How to be a parent.
Yeah. Damn.
Which is like, how the fuck, but it should be how to be a parent over the phone, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Like, that's the book you need, or how to be a parent of how to be a non, you know, how to be a parent from another state to a child on a reservation for dummies, you know? Like, that's what I needed. I needed something specific, and it's not some instances you can't even talk to certain people about, you know? And so anyway, I just felt trapped. That was scary. But yeah, man, I could imagine Bobby being a real piece of shit when he was young, you know? But I noticed the one time when it's easy for me to talk to him is when if I talk to him about you, immediately it's like, he just gets like a more, I don't know if it's comfortable or just more, I don't know if he likes talking about his brother or if he just, you know, you're like one of his favorite things, but you can tell he just gets more real.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you know this about my brother. He was a wrestler. So he got me into wrestling at a very young age. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because people who don't know, I come from a place, Poway is known for the wrestling program.
Really?
Oh, and my brother was good, man. Wow. He just got caught up in drugs. Like,
it's hard to wrestle on drugs.
Yeah. He was like, the coach was like, you got to make 105. He was like 125, 130. And he just went to rehab. Mm. And he was like, God, I don't want to cut all that weight. I'd rather just do this rehab. Or get clean, you know?
Yeah. Wow. But,
yeah, man, it's gnarly in that town. They'll scout you out when you're like a little... The high school coach will go to the middle schools and like, you know, size you up. Like,
yeah.
They'll like, they're like, kind of like, they just scout you out. They're like, ooh, yeah, he's going to be good.
Does it feel illegal? Is it dirty over there? Or is it just kind of...
What do you mean by that?
I mean, it just sounds like... I mean, it's crazy. Like a lot of these... You know, where is Poway, first of all?
Exactly. Where is it? It's more inland, like Escondido. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like...
Oh, I thought it was in damn Laotian or something. I thought you guys were Laotian. I'm thinking like this island or something.
No, man.
You talking about the fucking
airport? It's San Diego. No, it's Jesus. It's not Laotian.
Well, dude, just get out of town. Jesus. You act like some guy's coming down from the fucking mountain.
No.
Or coming down from the volcano and picking you guys out off the branches, man. Jesus Christ.
No, it's a place in San Diego. Oh. It's a town in San Diego.
Yeah, we'll fucking get it together and leave.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So what happened was, you know, he went to all my meets.
Wow.
Because he was like...
So you ended up being better at wrestling then?
Yeah. Mm. I was actually ranked second in this state my senior year. Yeah.
Of California?
Yeah, of California. No. And I choked at the state tournament.
No way.
I choked. And that's when I start boozing.
Do you remember why you choked or not?
Fear.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you. Like, imagine a stand-up going, like, doing a show, and then, like, right when, like, there's a crowd, mm-hmm. like, it's packed, mm-hmm. and your mouth doesn't even open.
Wow.
You can't even do your bits or something. I don't know.
No, I had to look. The first audition I ever had in town, I remember being so scared I couldn't even open my mouth in an audition room.
Well, what was that for?
I don't remember. Not even something big, but it was at E. It was at the E Network, and mm-hmm, I remember I could not even open my mouth. And I was like, can you guys open the window or something? And they're like, yeah, the windows don't open up here. We're like on the 26th floor of some building.
Yeah.
Like, the windows don't open up here. And I'm thinking, what kind of shitty company doesn't even let you kill yourself if you want to? And then I'm like, well, can we open the door? And like, well, it's a little awkward to be auditioning with the door open. Like, we don't usually do that. Yeah, and then I'm like, these people are mean, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just, but I literally, when they said, okay, action, I could not move. I was so nervous. Fear, yeah.
Yeah.
But man, I can't. That's so crazy. Yeah, but you still had to physically be out there and wrestle.
Dude, it was one of these things where the ref would blow the whistle, and then I would be in my stance, and before you know it, the guy was already in my legs. Mm. Like, I was literally not there mentally.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Your body and your brain.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I always won San Diego section.
Mm-hmm.
It's always when I went to state, I would like psych myself out.
Wow.
And choke hard.
What do you think it was when you think back on it? Like, when you really think what the fear was? Because
it was the expectations, like, I was supposed to win that shit, or I was supposed to do real good. And all it's just pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the crowds, did you feel like the crowds were bigger? Did you feel?
Yeah, well, it was in the University of Stockton. It was like, on camp. Yeah, the college camp. It was in an arena. So that's different.
That's different for sure.
Yeah.
So that can make you feel different.
Yeah, yeah. But I just remember I got so depressed after that. My brother drove from San Diego all the way to Stockton to watch me.
Oh.
Yeah, he always brings it up. He's like, man, I drove all that way, man.
It's not that far, really.
Well, it's
7 hours.
Yeah, it's about 7-8 hours, yeah.
But it's just once he had to drive up there.
No, because
you went a couple years in a row.
No, I qualified from sophomore year on.
Okay, so 3 times he had to drive up there for his
brother? 3 times I choked at state. So sorry, Brandstetter, that's my coach. Yeah, man, I moved on.
Now you look like a wrestler a little bit.
What? Well, no, I was the little guy. I was a 103-pounder.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
That was a little guy. Yeah.
Do you feel small or you feel... How do you feel on the inside?
What do you mean by that?
Like, whatever. I mean, I'm just like a regular height. You know, I'm like 6 foot tall. But you are probably... What height are you? 5'4", 5'6"?
Yeah, I'm like... 5'4", 5'5". I'm a buck
35, buck 40, if that.
When you get up out of bed, is it like, it seemed like you get out of bed really quick at that
size. I can. I'm kind of like my brother because we like rely.
You can get in the refrigerator, can't you, if you wanted, if you took the shelves out?
I probably could if I like that's cool, crunched yeah. up. Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm just trying to think of fun things you like seem like you could probably do if you were just like kind of a more regular height, you know, or just like your unique height, you know?
Yeah.
Like not in a bad way. I'm just like there's some things if I look at a place, I'm like, oh, I can't get under that or I can't do this, mm-hmm. you know?
How tall are you? How
jump on that person's back or anything.
Yeah.
Like you seem like you could be more fun probably.
Well, like what do you mean by that?
Like I think people look at you and like, oh, this guy's probably more fun.
Yeah, maybe.
Like
I
if
don't
they had
know.
A more fun contest yeah. and you had 100 people, who's more fun? I bet 80 of them.
I like
would
having
pick
fun.
You.
Yeah, I like yeah, having see? Fun. Yeah. I don't drink alcohol or I don't smoke marijuana anymore though.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm about 9 years clean.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice, man.
So my sobriety date, October 26th, 2008.
Wow.
Yeah, I just can't do it anymore. Yeah. I literally turn into like the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to do some bad things. I went to Arizona State. Like,
ooh. Yeah, and I went to University of Arizona.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, in Tucson?
Boring. Bunch yeah, of dream shit catchers there. Yeah. And fucking no shirt sleeves.
What'd you do there?
People cutting the tops off their cars with yeah. saws. It is, dude. Yeah, it is. Go there. Go so there and see if you don't find a car top somewhere.
You went to U of A?
Yeah. Went to U of A for 1 year, man. I didn't like it.
You went to the dorms?
No, I lived off campus. I just worked at a restaurant. I was like washing dishes, some yeah. shithole. Just wanting to kill myself. Didn't have a gun.
You really want to kill yourself?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was just going through some tough times personally, but.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, I mean, it was okay. I mean, people were nice there. It was just.
You do mics?
I think I just didn't like being far away from home, probably. I was far away from Louisiana.
And then when did you start doing your comedy, man?
Let me see, probably 2003.
Oh.
So about 14 years
ago. What got you
ago.
Into it, man?
I think, well, what had happened was I'd done like a reality show when I was growing up, right? A show called Road Rules. It used to be a popular show.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I remember that.
They don't have it anymore.
MTV, right?
Yeah, it was
MTV.
Yeah. But then at a certain point, like whenever I got done with that, people were just so mean. They were like, they would just judge
you.
Wait,
to you?
Yeah, they would just be real judgmental. Like just because you were on television and it was like, and people were like, I remember being out here in Los Angeles and people being like, oh, well, this part, you don't have any talent, right?
That's not true though, because we've seen
your right.
Act.
And I was young, man. I was young. I didn't want to be on MTV. Like I, you know, I mean, I guess I did, mm-hmm. but I was just 19. It's not like I was making any life choices.
Right, right.
And then the next thing you know, I was like, oh, if you don't think that I have a talent, well, I'm going to do the hardest job in town, and I'm going to do it the best. And that mm-hmm. started to like just get into my head. Like, you don't think I have talent? Well, let's see if I do, you know?
Right.
So then I just got into stand up and I always like making people laugh. Like I used to do a similar thing when I was a child at the lunch table. We'd get some kids who were mentals or a couple of them might've been mentals and a couple kids that were well, you know, and we'd get there and sit them to make them drink milk and then tell jokes and do stuff until one of them just blew milk out of their face, you know? And if you get some straight up just a couple mentals, boy, some straight up sawed off humans, you get them to, dude, you get them to straight up blow leche out their dome, dude. That's America right there. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I knew, I was like, oh, I got some kind of a gift here, you know? I almost blew the throat out of this one boy. Almost threw the, this, Jesus. Almost blew the throat out of this. This one boy named Tot, T-O-T was his name. Kind of a bad name, too, to be mentally challenged. But also easy for him to spell. And, I'm not joking, that's what his father said. And, easy for him to spell backward and forward. Same name, Tot. So, that's true, man.
Was this guy's real, his name was Tot?
Yeah, dude. Why are you so laughing at him?
It's just a funny sounding name. That's all. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was pretty funny, I guess. Tot.
Yeah, well,
you know,
let's
Tot.
Talk about Tot.
Sometimes he would just say T-O-T was his name, but I knew it was Tot.
Yeah.
He would try to spell it out, and, you know, like he was tricking me.
Yeah. So did you do like the open mic circuit in LA?
Yeah, started doing open mics here.
Like at Marty's or where? Like at the Comic Meltdown and stuff?
No, they had a place over on the west side of town I lived. Yeah. I was sleeping under, a buddy of mine had a bed and I was sleeping under his bed for $150 a month.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes even in his bed sometimes. When he would be out of town or when he would leave for work, I'd climb up into his bed, dude. And I've never been heavily homosexual, but I will say this, that there's nothing really gayer than getting into a man's warmth after he's already left the room, you know, and climbing up into his bed. A man you don't even really know that much, but still catching that hit off of his temperature, you know?
That's funny.
It's true, man.
Yeah.
You go over to somebody's house, dude, who you don't know that much, and when they leave the room and get out of their bed, you get into their bed.
That should make you never told them that, though.
That should make a man out of you fast, dude, or it won't. But you find out who's who pretty quick when you're doing stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I was doing stuff like that. And they had a place around the corner, the Armadillo, it was called, and they had a comedy night there once a week. They had a room in the back. And I started just telling jokes. Like my dad was real old. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So I would just joke about that.
Oh, you did bits on your dad?
Yeah, I just started joking about that, man. And I'd always love to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the only times I ever really felt comfortable, I just was like, you know, I mean, I suffer from alcoholism and some of the isms, you know, it's always had that just inner voice that was just fucked up, you know.
Or, I got that too.
You notice that anxiety and just uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt like people didn't like me, I guess. But if people were laughing,
then they like you, dude.
Yeah. Because they couldn't
hate
me.
They wouldn't laugh,
right,
dude.
They couldn't hate me in that moment.
Yeah.
I needed them to constantly be laughing because I needed
them. Oh, right.
Because it was just like I knew that they couldn't not like me if they were physically,
right.
If I could see them, it was proof.
That's interesting, man. Yeah. My brother used to say, because he was like, in his comedy career, he was like, there comes a moment where it's almost like a drug getting that from them.
Yeah.
And he thrives on that. Mm. He's like, oh, I need that. Like, because he's sober too. And it was kind of like an adrenaline rush for him. Like,
I could see that. If he didn't get that, who knows what would happen to him.
Yeah,
it is kind of weird. Like, I don't even know. Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe this is just something that I need to be okay.
Yeah, I think it's therapeutic for guys like you and Bob.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, I don't know, getting that I don't know, the exchange from the
that
audience.
Reverb, yeah,
dude. They're like telling you, you're all right. You're a funny guy. Yeah. But you never bombed though, right? Did you bomb at all in the beginning?
Yeah, I've definitely bombed a few times.
Yeah.
You know, I bombed the other night somewhere.
Still?
Yeah, it was just sometimes it's a weird crowd. Sometimes it's, you know, it could be a strain. Sometimes during the year, there's just a weird night or two where everybody doesn't do well.
Yeah, I try to do.
You try to do stand up?
Yeah,
really.
And, I opened up for Bob at the Tempe Improv, and and it was a packed crowd.
Yeah.
And I had, because I was hitting mics and everything.
Yeah.
But I did this cowboy rap thing. Uh-huh. It wasn't even a bit. It was just me, you know, doing the thing. And I bombed horrendously.
Damn.
Yeah, it was painful.
Oh, damn.
So they kicked me off the other shows.
Really?
So, yeah, well, I knew something wasn't right because I did my thing. I didn't engage the crowd and I just did it. And the MC had to save me. The MC had to go, hey. Anyway, come on, let's get off the stage. And so I just remember, because you've been to the Tempe Improv.
Yeah.
You have to walk through the crowd to get to the green room.
Yes.
So I remember walking, like I was just, I thought I did good, and I was walking by the crowd, and they wouldn't even look at me. They were just like that. And I'm like, and that's when I'm like,
whore in the 1700s.
Yeah. And so I was in the green room, and my brother goes, I'm proud of you that you went up, but they don't have time. Yeah, but he was trying to save my you know.
Right, he was trying.
He didn't want to tell me that the manager went up to him and said your brother's cut.
Right.
He just said, you could go home. Yeah, you just
drive back.
You could drive back. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Cuz there's two other shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was that a bummer or not?
Oh, it was painful, yeah. Because I heard, got it from my mom, too. I guess my brother was texting her because I went to Del Taco.
What an asshole.
I wanted tacos, and then I bought tacos, drive through, and then I went home. And my mom knew I didn't do well.
Oh.
So she was getting on me, like, asking about the bits.
No.
Like, what did you do? And I'm like, yeah, I was just doing a cowboy rap, Ma. She goes, that's not comedy. And I was like, you don't know comedy, Ma. I stormed upstairs.
Damn.
And then my brother went in. This is in Gilbert, Arizona.
Yeah, my mother used to live out in Gilbert.
And so my brother went in later that night into the room, and he goes, can I talk to you? And I go, yeah, what do you want? And he goes, I just have a few suggestions, man. Let me help you write.
Mm.
And then I got really defensive at that. Mm. I go, I know comedy, man. I was like, just really like stubborn, you know?
Damn, dude. Yeah. That's like a weird, like a...
Yeah, it was like just a weird, like, man. It was painful, and that was one of the last times I think I did it.
Yeah, it seems like a weird foreign kind of Eminem.
Yeah, it was very weird, yeah.
Like Yemenem. Where's Yemen? Where's Yemen?
Middle East.
Yeah.
Man, if it was Asian, that would have been a good one.
Yeah, that would have been real good, yeah.
I could write my own raps, Bob. You know? Yeah. Valenzuela was our dad's name, Richie. I can draw the cartoons, you know? I met a girl and Donna was her name.
Richie Valens.
Dude, I love that movie, huh?
Oh, La Bamba?
Yeah.
You know what? That makes me kind of think of my, like, that reminds me of my brother.
Yeah.
Like,
I could see that a little bit.
Yeah. Except the roles are reversed. I'm like more of
Bob.
More like Bob. And Bob's Richie. You know? Because my brother, I want him to maybe lose a couple pounds and everything.
Yeah, I don't think that movie's really about weight loss when the guy dies. It's more about he fully dies. It's not like he crashes in a plane and shows back 15 pounds lighter. You know?
Right, right. But I'm just worried about my brother, you know? That's all I'm worried.
Yeah, man.
I love him, you know?
Yeah.
He's a lovable guy. Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about him, one of the interesting things about
him. I love that movie, though. I love it.
Man. It's a great movie.
I fucking love it.
If you've never seen La Bamba, go check that out.
La Bamba. Who plays, what's that guy's actor's name?
I interviewed him this year, actually.
What was his name?
His name is Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
And you know what's interesting about him is he's native. Yeah. He's Native American,
right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But he gets a lot of Latino roles.
Yeah.
So he then gets invited to a lot of like Latino actual real like
events.
Latino progressive events.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any choice but to do it because, you know, it's something that's positive and they just see him that way because he's in so many of those roles that he's like, wow, this is like a weird calling that I've, you know, am fulfilling in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not even Latino, but here he is like on the Latino Council for like the, you know, United States of America and like Latinos in action and like, you know.
What other movies has he been in? He's been in quite a few. I just can't remember other ones.
Yeah, he's been in he has worked more than... He's worked
a lot
forever.
in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. And even still now, I think he's on a couple of, he's a lead on a series now. He's always in movies. He constantly works. But Lou Diamond Phillips, he does some directing as well.
Yeah.
But one of the, I got to interview him this year and he was one of the nicest men.
Was he nice?
Oh, such a sweet guy. Yeah. But yeah, that role was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
That movie, I remember it was one of the first movies I ever saw. Was that movie? And it was
good. What scene kind of sticks out?
A couple of them. Yeah, he tries to take him into the whorehouse down there.
Yeah,
Tijuana.
Yeah.
And then
the guy with the magician guy, the wise guy with the snake. Remember that he takes him into the reservation,
mm-mm.
Right? And then he gives it that necklace.
I don't remember that part though.
I remember
it a little bit.
Yeah. There was a lot of, I like the dynamic with him and his brother though. There was the jealousy but love.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then he, in the end, he just like, the guy died.
Yeah. Oh, in the plane
with Buddy Holly. With the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly.
Yeah. So he was huge, man, for that time period.
And to be a Mexican American.
Yeah, dude.
Or Mexican and to have that opportunity. Unbelievable, man. Yeah, that story's great. And if you're ever in Minneapolis, you can drive about 2 hours south of there and you can go to a site where the plane crashed.
You can?
Where their plane crashed. It's right around the Iowa, Minnesota border.
Oh, I didn't know.
Almost went
that.
One day. Almost went, but instead I drove over to Field of Dreams, which is in Iowa.
Oh, I love that movie. Kevin Costner.
Yeah, and you can go. They actually still have it all put together.
Yeah.
And it's funded by funded publicly, I think. They do fundraisers for it. And you can go visit the actual Field of Dreams and go out there and run around.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome.
So you like movies from that time period. I'm kind of feeling you out as far as like
I got the stuff stuck you like. Somehow.
Yeah.
Somehow I'm just stuck
like
in my childhood.
Like Lost Boys and Goonies and all that stuff. Karate Kid.
Yeah. The only thing I've even seen in the past probably 15 years was The Incredibles. Have you seen that?
No.
It's about like a cartoon family that gets they kind of fight amongst themselves, but then they also fight crime.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's the only one.
I'm new Blade to think Runner. That I never saw any Blade Runner. I saw any Fast and Furious. No, it. Oh. I tried to see
Saw
Train, Oregon, Secrets of the. What is it? Asian. Killers on the train. What is that? Orient Express. Murders Orient on the Orient Express.
Okay.
You know it. Murders on the Orient Express. Piece of shit. If you haven't seen that yet, how about this? I'd rather spend $30, take an Amtrak, see real crime.
Hell yeah.
Way better, dude. Take your son, daughter, you know, side piece, whatever, on a $40 Amtrak ride, you know, two cities down, two cities back, half the afternoon, beautiful scenery. Sit in the club car, way better crime. Probably buy some jewelry off of somebody who's a mason. And much better show, though.
I wanted to go back to Covington because it says here that...
Yeah, turpentine country.
The stray animal belt of that region? What does that mean?
The stray animal belt. I grew up in the stray animal belt.
So,
and that's just, you know, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God was trying out animals. You know, look at this. It's almost like this. What is this right here?
It's a Maltese poodle.
Okay, so this is a Maltese.
Yeah.
Where are they from? Malta, obviously. Yeah, but Malta. The thing is that if they, say you're in our town, an animal would just go by.
Like a dog?
Could be. Could be something else. Tall. We had some tall, I don't know what they were, came by once. What else do we have? Animals. Mm-hmm. Livestock.
Cats.
I grew up in a near a hamster and guinea pig breeding area.
Whoa.
So you'd have tons of those sometimes getting out. When they got out, you'd see, you know, 700 fucking guinea pig go by.
Damn.
You know, and it's beautiful if you've never seen it. But yeah, chimpanzees, a lot of chimpanzees.
There was monkeys?
Yeah, dude, Delta Primate Center.
Get the fuck out of
here. In our town, they tested the polio vaccine in our town.
What?
The one that they gave out to millions of Americans. They tested it and they... they figured out how to whatever the vaccine was in our town, the town I grew up in.
Damn.
But otherwise, it used to be big in a turpentine game until people started just, I guess, finding other ways to get paint off of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, what else happened? Oh, during the yellow fever epidemic, it was one of the only two cities in the South that were not quarantined. One of them was Atlanta, and one of them was my hometown of Covington, Louisiana.
Oh,
so it became this mystic place where people could be healthy. And they had a lot of natural springs there and stuff.
Yeah. Were there a lot of any Asians in your town?
Let me see. I remember seeing the first Asian I ever saw. Well, I saw some drawings, right? I remember definitely seeing a lot of drawings when we were kids of Asians because they're easy to draw. So a lot of kids would draw Asians, right? After that. True story. The next Asian I ever saw, the closest real Asian, was that picture in the Guinness Book of World Records when there's like an Asian, like 17 Asian kids on a bicycle. Remember that one, the famous picture?
Yeah, yeah. That's like, it?
No, that was just the first. I was like, holy shit, look what they can do, you know? And it made me like, but it made us do cool stuff on our bike and like see what we could do.
Yeah.
And then there was a rumor when I was about 14 that there was an Asian boy. There was a rumor there was an Asian boy about 17 miles away from us. And me and two of my buddies, one of them who had a bad neck, this fella had a pretty bad, you know, that fifth appendage, the neck, people don't think about it. You got to strengthen it. And his was real lean, barely hold his head up. He almost had to walk around like this and also hold his head up with one of his arms. But he and I and another kid, got together and decided we want to go see this Asian, you know, this rumored Asian.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So we saved up money. We cut grass for about 6 weeks and saved up money to get a taxi.
Just to see this guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Went to Slidell, Louisiana to go visit him. And
well, you just went to his house?
No, it was the address that we got.
Oh, you how'd you get this address?
Dude, you can get information.
Okay. Okay.
And this is back before the internet, too. Uh-huh. So this is when you'd ask around.
Yeah.
And then guess a little. Mm-hmm. And we went to see him and tried to go see him, but it was just a Chinese food restaurant.
Oh, he's a Chinese guy.
It wasn't a real Chinese person. It was just, I think, some kind of white people in hats. And it was like, I don't know, it might have been like a Mexican Jewish guy running it.
Oh, that's weird.
But it wasn't any, no real Asians.
So it was just a myth.
So we went back, man. It cost us about $70.
Oh, jeez.
And then I had some abandonment issues, actually, when it came to Asians for a long time because of that. And then a kid named Jason Desport that showed up when I was in junior high school. And people used to always, they had this group at the time called Whites Against Mexicans. And people would attack him sometimes, even though he wasn't Mexican, because he was like closest thing we had to a Mexican.
He was Asian.
Pretty much.
Korean, Chinese, Japanese.
He was kind of like, what is the happy ones you would see like on some of the posters with the rosy cheeks kind of?
Jesus, I don't
like wearing a diaper, like sitting in a tub. I don't
know, man. George, help me out, man.
What do you mean, George,
George,
dude?
Help me out.
Dude, you can't phone a freaking Icelandic guy.
Ilani.
You're Asian.
Ilani. What's he talking about?
What's the happiest of the eight? I mean, this kid was probably happy, kind of same skin tone as Ilani.
Filipino?
Yes, he could have been Filipino.
He was a Filipino guy.
Beautiful guy. Okay. And after that, man, since then, though, you know, I grew up and, you know, got surrounded by Asians here and there. Yeah. And, you know, I've been to a lot of different Asian countries. I've been to Singapore, I've been to Vietnam, I've been to Malaysia, Japan, China.
What's your favorite
Shanghai.
One? Your favorite one? Probably Japan, huh?
You know what? I really liked China.
You did?
Yeah.
What'd you like about that? I heard it's just overpopulated and smog. Yeah,
I liked... Yeah, I don't know. It was just really real, you know? It felt like really kind of gristly and edgy, you know?
You like that?
I like that.
Yeah.
And I liked... I remember in Vietnam, I actually went to some market and they had these, they have like a lot of live animals at the markets there, you know, because it's, you know, we say fresh to farm, you know, farm to table and all that shit, but Vietnam does farm to table, dude. You can buy fucking something that like is literally, they'll fucking kill it right there in front of you. You can sword fight a pig if you want and then take it home if you win. And you always win because you know, they just tape like the sword to its arm. But it's like, you can... I mean, it's really farm to table. You go to these markets and they cut the head off of whatever it is right there and they'll give it to you, you know?
Dude.
So I had caught this, could have been a dove or something. I'd seen a dove that they were going to kill and sell for food. So I'm thinking, I'm going to buy this dove, rescue this dove, let this dove free. That's a peace bird. So what happened was, get the dove, pay a dollar for it, get that dove. Go outside, let the dove free like that. The second I let it go, like nine people went for it. One guy took it, immediately snapped its neck, and just left, went home.
Get the fuck out of here.
Swear to God. And that's when it showed me like,
dude,
this, we just have total different perceptions of what's going on. You know, like, you know, it's like,
that was a meal for that guy, huh?
Right. But over here, it's like, you know, animal rights, animal cruelty. Yes, animal rights, but the second an animal gets loose on the fucking street in Vietnam, it has no fucking rights. I'll tell you that. It has the right to be dinner because millions of people need to eat. And that's the reality of a lot of situations, you know? People are out here breastfeeding fucking iguanas and shit. And like, you know, they're only allowed to bathe, you know, after fucking sundown or whatever and all this gay stuff. But the truth is, you go to a place where people need to eat still, and we're not just... Just, you know, eating antidepressants every other meal. You go to a real place where people are starving. These animals don't have any rights and they don't need them. These animals are for food. You know, that's what they are. And that's what I realized when I was there, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
It's the same way. It's like people here like go to India to learn how to like feel good. It's like we go to a starving country to learn how to be okay. You know, it's just like,
I don't know. My friend Jesse, is still out in India. He's doing a documentary.
Really?
About there's this whole culture of street dogs. Mm. And it's like, it's literally, he's documenting these different dogs. It's like gangs. Like, mm-hmm. this one dog will occupy this street. But if that dog goes into this street.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Damn, dude. So he's been out there for a couple years now.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to like Jesse.
What's up, Jesse? He sounds like he's on drugs to me.
He's an ex-punk rocker
guy. Is he really?
Yeah, he would love him.
He might not
You'd
be.
Love him.
I mean, a lot of people aren't.
But he's treated like a king out there. Cause,
is he really?
Oh, well, he just puts on a bandana and he just...
He's cruising.
He's the man there.
Dude, I love that idea of gangs of New York, but it's dogs.
It's dogs.
And it's... What country is it?
India.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, true story. I was in Madras one time. I saw a monkey with a watch on.
What?
True story.
You did?
Swear to God, dude. Some things I've seen, that was one of them.
Damn,
saw a monkey with a watch
crazy.
On, dude. And I don't know how old the monkey was, but... Old enough, you know, to have a watch on.
Out of all those places, where do you think you could live at any of these places that you
visited?
You
know, I get scared when I get out by myself. There's something weird. I just get uncomfortable.
You like LA, man?
I hate LA.
LA is the most,
it's just disconnected. And I mean, but there's some dreamers here. There's great people here.
Yeah.
So it's like you really have to meander through a lot of it, you know?
A lot of bullshitters, though.
A lot of bullshitters. And a lot of just bad, a lot of like, it's like capitalism at its worst, really.
Yeah.
And it's tough. It's tough to be in this industry. And
how long you been out here now?
Let me see, 14 years.
Wow. When I first moved here, I was like at dinner with my brother's peoples, and I was straight from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I realized is they're like, so what do you do? What do you, you know, it's like, it wasn't like, it was like so fake.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? So what do you do? And I'm like, whoa. I got defensive, to be honest, because I
didn't
know.
You're a wrestler.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck do they mean? What do I do?
I don't even fucking know. Body slams, bitch. You know?
No, I just didn't know what that meant. But now I know.
Right.
They're like, are you a photographer? Are you an agent? Are you a casting agent? Oh, I need this. I need headshots. I need this.
Well,
you know?
I think because some people, it's an office. LA, it's just an office. And I feel like that when I land here. I feel like it's an office. It's just like a lot of people out here just, you know, struggling. It's so lonely. Like, everybody's lonely. That's why animals, everybody's concerned about animals. Because it's the most friend. People have a tough time finding friends out here.
Yeah.
It's tough for relationships.
Did you have a hard time when you first moved?
Yeah, I still have a tough time. Only in this past year and a half. I mean, I have a lot of acquaintances.
What about your other comic friends?
I got some buddies, but I mean, those relationships grow over time.
Didn't you just go to Canada with like?
Yeah, I went to Canada with a couple of guys.
What's his name? Oh, Mike Black.
No, Mike Young.
Oh, Mike Young. Yeah. Sorry, Mike Young.
Mike Black. but no, we had a great time.
Oh, Mike Young, yeah.
We had a great time. But yeah, those things take a time to evolve because you only ever see each other at a place where you're competing for stage time.
Oh.
So there's a little, you know, a little shoulder bumping going on.
Are you at the store? Are you a Comedy Store guy now?
Yeah.
And so I feel so grateful. Your name's on the thing?
Name on the thing.
So how was that process? Like, what was that process like?
Dude, I really got lucky. I mean, I'd been doing comedy for a long time, you know, out on the road doing you know, probably 10 years out on the road a lot. And half the year in town, but half the year out on the road. I probably went about $30,000 in debt, you know?
You did?
Yeah, just had credit card debt just because they'll fly you out, but you spend everything you make on your flight. So,
man.
You go all the way there and you take your talent, but you're not really making any money.
It's changed now, though, right?
Yeah, now it's a little bit better.
Because your stocks...
Now it's a little bit better, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still... I still need to get to that extra hump, you know?
Yeah. What's the next hump for, like a special? Because I always tell Bob, like, why don't you have your fucking special out, man?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Bob should have one, probably.
He should have at least two or three by now.
Yeah. He should.
Why?
It's a good point. I don't know.
Why doesn't he not have one?
I don't know. I think... You know what? I think he also likes to be comfortable. You know, Bobby just gets set in some way, in some spots of comfortability.
Well, with his jokes.
I think with everything. You know, he likes to pee on the balcony, you know, and he likes to just be comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I've been there, dude. I wet the bed laws probably 31.
For real?
And outside areas. But he, you know, I think he likes to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get comfortable in your set. You get comfortable knowing what is going to kill.
Right.
And he can kill. Bobby can go up there and murder. So why would he do anything different, you know?
Right.
Especially he likes to act. He likes to do different things. And, you know, I mean, to really get out there and fight to be like, you know, the big, huge, crazy comedy star.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a lot of pressure. He likes to be at home.
Yeah.
He'd have to travel a lot.
Yep.
Maybe the consequences of achieving that level of notoriety on stage aren't something that he sees as being that rewarding to his lifestyle.
You know? And he would have to write more.
Yeah, and well, yeah, but
because once you do it on like a HBO or a whatever,
right? And he'd have to, he'd have to do the work too.
It's out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd have to do the work. I didn't want to say he didn't want to work hard, but you did, so
no.
Maybe he does.
No, we'll
that's
talk
okay.
About it.
He probably doesn't.
Yeah. No. He's doing.
But
well.
No, he's doing. Oh, fine. He's definitely doing well.
He's doing well.
He will never not do well.
He's doing good.
Bobby's the only person in the Comedy Store who could stand up there, and I would watch him stand up there for 15 minutes.
Has he done that?
Nobody could. I mean, it's just something. He has this weird gift. Like, you know, he's got like this fucking, you know, wild, successful fucking Vietnamese autism, you know, that nobody else has ever possessed. I've never seen it in anybody, you know, and I grew up around a lot of the tism, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So what's next in line for you as far as
trying to get a set out there, man? Trying to get a set on late night. You know, it's hard these days having a Southern accent in Hollywood. It's really, really tough to get a job.
You could separate yourself from all the other people doing it.
Yeah, but they won't even. It's like, it's so tough. I'm trying to get a late night set right now, and they're saying, well, you don't like that. I don't have some of the same symbolism that some of these, you know, networks have just because of a Southern. Like, it's crazy. Like, think of the last.
I like that you have a Southern
accent. Well, there's nothing
accent.
I can do about it. It's not racist, but I don't know what it is. It's LA's fucked up, man. Hollywood's a fucked up place.
It's fucked up, yeah.
But think about it. Like, when was the last Southern white guy that you saw
in
anything?
I can't remember. Can you, George? I can't. Off top, I can't. It's you. You're the next guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm the next. I don't know if there's a place for one anymore.
No, there is. There's got it. There's always.
Where?
This is America, man.
Dude,
I mean,
I hear you.
This is America.
I hear you.
This is LA. We're in LA, but America.
I'm saying in 20 years, they haven't. I mean, the blue collar tour, you know.
I was just going to say.
Two of those guys were Southern, but that was 22 years ago.
That was highly successful.
That was 22 years ago?
Well, the cable guy, what's his name?
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy.
Super funny. Jeff Foxworthy. It's
There's
been 22
four guys.
Years. Ron White.
They're
I don't
doing
know
arenas,
Ron is,
man.
Wait, Ron's from Texas, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill Engvall. Bill might be from North Carolina or something. So, yeah, but since then, think about that.
Damn,
so it's really disheartening, you know, when at, you know, at 15 years old, you see these guys and it makes you
like,
think, oh, I want to do comedy.
Yeah.
And then you get and chase your own dream and then you get here and because things are so like political and ignorant in your own fucking backyard, you have a tough time getting a job, you know?
I feel like there's going to be a resurgence, like, because history repeats itself. It's going to be you and a couple other guys that do that.
And I don't mean
style.
To get bummer about it. It's just, it's tough sometimes when you just constantly do well and as well as others and you don't get any of the same rewards. I start to see how other people of different, like, ethnicities and faiths and stuff like that feel probably when they feel like they don't get opportunities, even if they do just as well. You know?
Yeah. So what is it? Is it just your hookups or like who you know or like how does
no,
that
work? No, I think
work?
Everything. I mean, I'm on the best stage in the world,
dude.
You know?
You're like
five
at the Improv and the Comedy Store, man.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So for now, you know, I just keep doing my work.
Yeah,
and I think the industry's changing too, where you can make your own industry.
Yeah, you know? Dude. Because don't you have? Let's talk about. You have your own podcast too, right?
Yeah, this past weekend.
It's called This Past Weekend.
Comes out every Monday.
About life suggestions for men.
Yep, it's about basic life suggestions for men that are struggling.
Uh huh.
And
when'd you come up with it? Like
we started this year. December 19th will be our 1 year anniversary.
All right, congratulations!
And thank
man.
You very
yeah,
much.
Yeah,
man.
And you came up with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it was easy to come up with. Other people were podcasting, and I was like, I can do it too, you know. But I will say this: at first, it was really scary.
Yeah.
Did you find it scary at first when you started doing podcasting?
To be honest with you, I still don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Every week, I just sit here and then I hope for the best.
Yeah.
I come out. It's weird, right? I come out there to the bathroom. I play a little piano.
Yeah.
Say hi to the monkey. Then I have a puppet show at the end. So and then
oh, you do?
Yeah.
I want to watch it.
You don't have to. Yeah, well, you could do it on. You could just watch because you know, are we good on time? Like, you have
I'm gonna leave in a minute.
Okay, yeah.
Because I know you guys have to fly out tomorrow, and I see her.
Yeah,
lady's kind of quieting down, looking like she wants a little bit of that Stevie Weeby.
Yeah.
Do you guys still have sex or no?
Oh yeah. We're good. We're together, man. That's like,
oh, I know that.
That's my baby right there.
Oh, she's beautiful, man.
We've been together for over a year, huh, babe?
A year, 4 months.
A year, 4 months.
You You guys believe in the Lord, don't you? Where you're from?
Well, I because she's Catholic.
She does, yeah.
So I'm starting to go to Catholic
church. Filipinos are straight
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I'm starting to go to Catholic church with her.
God's little side pieces children, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
If God
yeah.
had like about 7 billion children with a side piece, they'd be Filipinos. I am.
Yeah, so.
When I die and I come back, I want to be Filipino next time.
No, for real?
Dude, I went to Sierra Leone or something? No. Diego Garcia. It's like an island off the coast of the Philippines, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And island off the coast of Singapore. And everybody that works and lives there is Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
Most friendliest people I've ever met in the world.
Yeah. You like
the smiling culture, they call them, you know?
Oh, dude. And then the food's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was good food that night, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's hard to eat when you just sat through 2 hours of traffic.
Yeah,
to get to somebody's birthday. Who has a birthday on a Friday afternoon at 6 p.m. by the interstate?
Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
In Los Angeles, dude. Yeah. Off yeah. the I-5, the busiest interstate on the planet Earth. Busier than India.
Yep.
Busier than the Yangtze. Busier than all of that.
Let's wrap this up because I know you're because we got to catch a flight and you.
No,
gotta,
and look, this has been a blessing, man. Look,
yeah, dude,
I remember meeting you thinking,
dude, yeah,
because I didn't know that he had a brother, and it just yeah. blew my mind.
You cracked me up. You said something because you were looking at me and like you're like because I guess you didn't believe my age, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh man, it's too late to grow. You said something funny, but it stuck with me. I'm like, yeah, I because like look at it, I'm still like, I feel like a
kid.
Nah,
but you're beautiful, man. Yeah, you're a good guy.
I appreciate it, man.
You seem like a really good guy, and I'm happy that you found a lady that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just remember seeing you guys laugh and just like being like goofy and just seem like I was like, man, these two kids are hopefully don't have a child, you know, because this child's gonna be mentally handicapped. But I also remember. Because where I'm from, if you see two mentals hugging, you call the cops on them. And that was a rule when I was young. And that's true, dude. That's true. If you see two mentals hugging, you call the cops immediately because once two mentals don't make a non-mental.
Right.
You know, rarely do they. And it's a risk and it's high risk, low reward. That's what they call that. In psychology. But yeah, man, I'm happy to be here. And
yeah, man.
And we'll hopefully next time we'll get to know each other a little bit better.
Yeah.
Which episode of this past weekend should they check out specifically?
Yeah.
Let me see. A good one is this. We had one called the Dark Arts Extravaganza.
Oh.
And a lot of people call in about the dark arts.
Okay. What is the dark arts?
The dark arts can be anything. You know, it can be people that are... you know, jerking off too much or doing self pleasure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It could be people that are, you know, doing drugs, you know, and struggling with addiction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It could be people that are, you know, hiding stuff in their ass. It could be anything. It could be, you know, making love outside of your marriage. It could be just those feelings of self-loathing and those feelings that make you feel like you're not a good enough person or you're not a man or you're, you know, it could be somebody that's afraid to come out of the closet or somebody that's afraid to make a call to their stepdad. It could be anything that prevents you from being your best self.
I like that.
Those are the dark arts.
So where could they see, listen to this stuff?
They can check it out on iTunes or YouTube. It's called This Past Weekend.
And then
by Theo Vaughn, and I got an album out there called 30-Pound Bag of Hamster Bones.
Okay, where could they get that?
Busted a man in our town with 30 pounds of hamster bones on him.
Where could they get that?
They can get that on iTunes.
Okay, and then what about your Instagram?
Digital World, just Theo Vaughn, Theovon.
Uh-huh. And then any upcoming shows you wanted to...
No, I'll do a new tour. When will this come out, soon?
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Wednesday,
yeah.
Yeah, I'll just... I'll have a new tour out in the new year.
A week from Wednesday, yeah, next week.
No, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays. Mm-hmm. And what do you guys in Korea, what do they celebrate?
I don't even know, man.
Jesus.
I know.
What?
In
Philippines, what do they celebrate?
Christmas.
Yeah. So I'm talking about just making sure they still know who their daddy is, you know? Yeah, they celebrate Christmas over there. Yeah. So happy whatever you celebrate. And I hope that this holiday season is a loving time where you get to sit and have conversations with people, even if you don't know them that well.
Yeah,
and like we're doing kind of now.
Yeah,
and we appreciate you guys joining us.
I appreciate you coming, man.
Yeah, man, me too. 100%.
To be honest with you, I was nervous because we've been watching your bits. I'm like, oh, man, what are we going to talk about? I don't know.
But that's a gift to you is you just have like this thing where it's like you don't even even have to have any plan, you know?
I don't know. We got 40 okay. minutes. Hey, Bryce, how we doing on time, buddy?
Good.
What's the time later? Okay, thank you, brother.
You got to fly out.
Yeah. With that being said, it's time for Little Ray's World, man.
Welcome to Little Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world, to all the boys and girls.
Welcome to Little Ray's World. Yeehaw!
What the hell do we got here this week, Beep? Looks like a goddang apricot. What's your name, man? Your name is Ross, and you're a part of the football team. You're basically a jock, weren't you? Well, how'd you turn into a goddang apricot, man? You're cruising the strip near the beach, and you picked a fight with the wrong dudes, didn't you? You got in a fight with the MMA fighter, and he put you in a darce choke and killed you, didn't he? Now you're a goddang apricot, aren't you? And your name is Ross the Apricot. We wrote a song about you. It goes like this, man.
This one's about Ross the Apricot, man.
Ross the Apricot.
Ross the Apricot, he was a typical type job. In the locker room of Hoss, all you heard was talk. What people didn't know is that his daddy owned a yacht. Came from a lot of money with the Beamer that was bought. We drive at the beach, posted up at the boardwalk. Laughing with his friends with the liquor that they brought. Talking smack to pedestrians as they would walk. Picked on a group of MMA fighters and they fought. All along the street, Ross got put into a lock. A darce choke to be exact, blood mixed into a snot. Failed to gain consciousness in the parking lot. His football team members cried out to a flock. Oh, people didn't get help, man, it sounded like a squawk. But it was too late, his body outlined in chalk. Ross the Apricot is no longer a big shot. His dreams got squashed when he tried to change the plot. Now Ross is a piece of fruit here to get mocked. Ross the Apricot.
Join us next week for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. See you then.
And check out Theo's episode of the Dark Arts Extravaganza. Let him know Stevie brought you, guys. Stevie Weeby brought you.
Woo!